The significance of this contract was very clear. For a pittance, not only had Olga sold 50 years' worth of her correspondence with Ezra Pound, she had also sold letters to her and to Pound from T.S. Eliot, Samuel Beckett, E.E. Cummings, H.L. Mencken, Marion Moore, Robert Lowell, Archibald MacLeish, William Carlos Williams, Ford Madox Ford, and other literary figures, as well as drafts of the Cantos, books that bore marginalia and annotations by Pound, and first editions of books inscribed to Pound by their authors. The total value of the collection could have approached $1 million, the market for Poundiana being what it was at the time. Any number of items were by themselves worth more than the sale price of the whole lot. Among the most valuable would have been the notebooks of the sculptor, Henri Gaudier Breschka, a founder, along with Pound, of the Vorticism movement. Gaudier Breschka died during the First World War at 24, rendering his notebooks particularly rare and valuable. "Did Olga have her own lawyer with her when she did all this?" I asked. "I don't think so." When Olga finally realized what had happened, she became hysterical. She called Joan Fitzgerald at night, saying she wanted to dissolve the foundation, and rushed over the Academia Bridge to see her in tears. Lizalotta handed me another page. It was a photocopy of a letter handwritten in Olga's large, clear script, addressed to the Cleveland attorney. 24 April, 1988. Dear Sir, I wish to inform you that it is my firm intention to dissolve the Ezra Pound Foundation. I have revoked the donation of my house at Dorsoduro 252, Venice. I would like to make it very clear that I never knowingly sold my archive to the Foundation or to anyone. Any deed to this effect can only be due to some misunderstanding. Cordially yours, Olga Rudge. The reply, which was sent 7 weeks later, informed Olga that the Ezra Pound Foundation could not be dissolved just because she wanted it to be. It would take a majority vote of the trustees, and even if the trustees did vote to dissolve the foundation, its property could not be returned to Olga, but it would have to be passed on to another tax-exempt institution. That was the law, he said. Olga apparently wrote several letters declaring her desire to dissolve the foundation. Lizalotta handed me another one, dated March 18, 1988. This one was not addressed to anyone in particular. "My intention," Olga wrote, "has always been that any foundation formed in the name of Ezra Pound would include trustees from the Cini Foundation, Ca' Foscari University, the Marciana Library, and my grandson, Walter de Rockevilts." The handwriting was clearly Olga's, but there was no way of knowing whether the letters were in her own words or had been composed by someone else and then copied by Olga. Given all this commotion, friends of Olga's rallying against the foundation, Olga herself declaring she wanted to dissolve it, one would have thought that Jane Rylands might have backed off a bit, saying, "I'm so sorry, I only meant to help." But it was not until 2 years later that she finally transferred custody of the papers to Yale. Then she dissolved the foundation. There were rumors that Yale had paid Jane Rylands a considerable sum of money for title to the papers, but they were only conjecture.